You may be seated. I had a professor in college who once described faith in God as like a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that may or may not be there. A riff on a quote that, like God, has no known origin exactly, but at least gives us permission to stumble around a bit as we try to find a foothold on our human existence. He was and is, my old professor, a provocatively faithful man, you see. He understood that for God to be God, there had to be much about him that we ourselves could not grasp or even see. No one has ever seen God, says St. John. For if they had, like all the others who now see God, they would be dead, or else just taken up to heaven. St. John also says, God, the only Son who is at the Father's side, he has made him known, which is true, thank God. But neither you nor I were around then, at least I don't think so. Our lived experience follows that of the elect exiles that the first epistle of Peter talks about. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We see now, just as Moses and St. Paul and most other human beings who have ever walked the earth have, only in a mirror dimly. And yet we know, or we come to know, God in and through Jesus Christ, not with our eyes only, but with our whole selves, body and soul, in life and in death. For no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's St. Paul riffing on the prophet Isaiah. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. That's the beginning of Advent. Mother Fleming Rutledge is right. Every year she is right. The joy and glory of faith, the genuine salvation of our souls like creation itself begins in the dark. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Because he did see God, St. John wants to tell that same creation story, only new, a new creation story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Whether in the dark room, the darkness of Sheol, the dark night, or the darkness of the womb, God comes. God comes speaking being into being. God comes and makes life new. No wonder then that according to NASA, 95% of the universe is made up of dark matter and dark energy. Or that in the Gospels, the blind man could not see Jesus for who he was before, the blind man did see Jesus for who he was before either St. Peter or St. John. Or that as St. Matthew and St. Luke and St. Mark suggest, the Son of Man will come again like a thief in the dark night. Or that the saints once described the apex of the experience of God as a dark night of the soul. Because faith is the conviction of things that are not seen, not fully, not yet. That doesn't make them any less real or true. The author of Hebrews goes on from there, making more sense of what St. Matthew tries to get across in his gospel this morning. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah built a giant boat in the middle of the Arabian desert, not knowing when or even if it would rain, much less how the ark would ever sail. He could not see from whence the voice of God spoke, nor could he have had any imagination for what God's judgment on the earth in those days would actually mean. How could he have known how God would unmake his own creation under darkened rain clouds in the depths of the sea, only to remake it through Noah's own household? The advent of a sure and certain hope that where evil and judgment and death reign over all the earth, a dove will descend, extending an olive branch of peace, while a rainbow of promise streams across the light of a new day, happening as a miracle. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein. For it is he who founded it upon the seas and made it firm upon the rivers of the deep. Matthew says, "For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. The two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken and one left." Now set aside for a moment whatever imaginings you may or may not have about when and how the world will end. Jesus says right here, and not for the only time, that concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father of only. Instead, consider all the ways in which each of us already gets left behind in the dark. 300 children in a Catholic boarding school in Nigeria were kidnapped by terrorists last week. One day here and the next day gone. Why? We don't know. Why does one person survive cancer or a car accident or a war or a natural disaster while another loved one doesn't? We do not know. We cannot know. We are left in the dark. You do not know on what day your Lord is coming. We know only that the Lord is coming, or so we Christians believe, our conviction of things yet unseen. We know that the Lord is coming because we have come to know the truth that the Lord has already come. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. And how do we know that? Well, to hear St. John and St. Peter and St. Matthew and St. Paul tell it, seeing the Lord in the flesh forever changed the way a lot of people saw and knew things. Born at night, under the light of the stars and under the threat of death, Christ Jesus walked atop the waters of the deep like a hovering spirit. The raging storms of night stilled at the sound of his voice. To the blind he gave sight, and to those who had died he raised out of the pit of darkness. He was kidnapped in the dark of night, condemned by his own people, and as the clouds rolled in, the earth shook at his crucifixion. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, says St. Paul. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim in the housetops. The mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So back to the blind man with the black cat throwing punches in the dark. At the monastery of Christ in the Desert in New Mexico, by the close of the final hours of prayer and the beginning of the great silence that marks the night, the darkness that covers the Kama Canyon there has no light to rival it for nearly 20 miles in every direction. Most pilgrims use the lights on their phones to see their steps on their way back to the guest house. But on my most recent visit, I decided just to walk without the light and the aching hope that would have me feeling alive again. The cold breath of the November night seeping underneath my jacket, my eyes and ears slowly adjusting to the dark, my heart learning to brave the vulnerabilities of being alone in the desert. And then I looked up and saw the billions of wondrous lights glimmering overhead. The only way to even begin to take it all in is to stop and to wait and to look and look and look. Nearly every person upon my return, when they discovered that much of what happens at a monastery involves praying in the quiet of a room or of a church or in the quiet of the night, says to me how terrifying they find the prospect of sitting alone with their own thoughts, or how awful it sounds to spend days digging into the soul. Literally my worst nightmare, someone put it to me a couple of weeks ago. Why? Well, I suppose that each person has to answer that for themselves. But I do wonder if whatever we fear about the soul's encounter with God in the night, that that isn't the very reason why St. Matthew is telling people, you must be ready. What if God is summoning us into a different way of being alive? Not to find the light ourselves, but in fear and trembling to wait for it faithfully. To put off the darkness by crying out to God long enough to discover that our hope is not in vain. To look and to wait so that we might come to know the Christ who has come and is coming again, so that in his light we would see light. Stay awake, wait, watch, and pray. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. From all evil and wickedness, from sin, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, and from everlasting damnation, good Lord, deliver us. From all blindness of heart, from pride, vainglory, and hypocrisy, from envy, hatred, and malice, and from all want of charity, good Lord, deliver us. From all oppression, conspiracy, and rebellion, from violence, battle, and murder, from dying suddenly and unprepared, good Lord, deliver us. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment, good Lord, deliver us. Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.